Hey, welcome everyone. Thank you for spending the last hour of breakout sessions, the first day of Build, with me. I realize I am keeping you from getting to your drinks and your appetizers when we're all done. So we're going to hit a really exciting, fast 60 minutes, and it's going to be a blast, I think. If you don't know what room you're in, hopefully you're in the right place. This is how to build file collaboration and sharing experiences with OneDrive, SharePoint, and Microsoft Graph. My name is Ryan Gregg. I am a principal program manager for the OneDrive and SharePoint development team. I am the guru for OneDrive platform, is I guess how I'll introduce myself. So, you know, everyone in this room should sort of understand this, that file shares really are obsolete now. The idea of having your own data storage on in your own server that you guys have to maintain and run, all of that, is really old school. And that cloud storage is now the future and is actually available here today as a great way to store files and to store content in the cloud and make it available across all of the devices that users have, across all of the endpoints, and in all of the scenarios. And OneDrive really is the place OneDrive really is the place where all of this content should live, and Microsoft Graph is the way to get that content in and out and to connect your applications and your solutions into OneDrive and to SharePoint. When we look at collaboration, I like to break it down into a few different numbers. So some things like the average employee in an enterprise works on six different projects and is collaborating with a number of different people. 64% of people are collaborating more now than they were a few years ago. And 65 million document libraries exist in SharePoint Online. 65 million different places that people have created for their teams, for their groups, for all the different collaboration work that they do. And that's, you know, in addition to all of the OneDrive for Business drives and all of the OneDrive drives where people are collaborating and working on content as well. And then the number that I really like to call out at the bottom is this 500 million devices today running the OneDrive app. So those are devices across mobile and desktop, scenarios that are connected and syncing and enabling collaboration and richness. And we totally want all of your solutions to be plugged into those devices and enabling these great collaboration scenarios on the content that your application owns. When you think about files across the Office 365 ecosystem, there's really two worlds that you may be familiar with. There's OneDrive and there's SharePoint. And often people ask me, like, how do I know where the content should be? How do I know which one I should be using? How do I think about this problem? And I like to break it down really simply and say, remember that U drive that you used to have, if you're old enough to remember having one of these? You had a directory that was just for your files, that was stuff that you owned, and that's where you put them. That's what OneDrive is. And for a lot of enterprises, small businesses especially, and even medium-sized businesses, that's really all you need. You don't need to think about team collaboration spaces. You don't need to think about publishing portals and all of the things that come with other solutions. You just need that U drive. You just need that place to store your files so that when you lose your device and you get a new one, all of your files come back. But then there's SharePoint, which is for large, you know, medium enterprises and on up into really big companies, and enables these team scenarios for work or for school scenarios. It's really the content collaboration place for teams. It's the place the documents live beyond the scope and the employment of any one employee in your company. And it's really like the P drive, if you had one of those, or if you're not an Exchange admin, the M drive, if you remember having one of those. So it's the place that content is focused on a project or on a group of people and not just on an individual user's storage. And the best part about that is that Microsoft Graph is the single API that gets you to everything that is available in OneDrive and SharePoint. So we have a great Office 365 platform that expands extensions and standalone web apps. So we have extensions that bring your application solution experience into Office and into the Office experiences, either in documents, in pages, or in conversations. And then we really have a great story for having standalone web apps and device apps where you can bring the data and the content that lives in Office 365 into your app. And the best part is that Microsoft Graph is the single solution that integrates between both of these. So if you're building an extension into Office, you can use Microsoft Graph to get to content. If you're using, or if you're building your own application outside of Office, say a mobile app or a web app, you can use Microsoft Graph to access content that way. And really now we have a single API story that spans all the way from consumer OneDrive all the way up into the largest enterprise SharePoint deployments and enable the same set of code that you write today to be used by all of those different customers. OneDrive files are awesome. I'm on the OneDrive team. I feel really comfortable saying that. I hope everybody in here agrees with me that OneDrive files are really awesome. No? Oh, all right, well. Billions of files have been stored by hundreds of millions of users in OneDrive. So clearly I'm not the only person in the world who has this feeling. Users really gain some great benefits by putting their files into OneDrive and or SharePoint. So there's really robust and sharing platforms. You can send links to files to enable really easy collaboration. If you're using Office, you can do real-time collaboration and co-authoring and see the changes that are happening as other people are making edits in your documents. On the enterprise side, there's full auditing and compliance capabilities built into Office 365. So not only can you make sure that everything is going right inside an organization, but IT can understand what's happening, and if something does go wrong, can figure out why. We also have great support for things like high-resolution thumbnails, full-text search, and video streaming. So by putting your content into our ecosystem, you make the ecosystem better, and you make the user experience better. And with Microsoft Graph, like Satya talked about this morning, it's now powering a bunch of insights and other information that can be pulled out of Microsoft Graph, both by Microsoft solutions and by your own solutions. That's all benefited by having that content there. And then on the developer side, by storing files here, you get to tap into a bunch of exciting features, like the single API story that spans across all of the different places that your users are storing their content. You have this massive existing ecosystem of solutions, including Office and collaboration scenarios that you can just take advantage of by connecting into the content there. You can help users avoid redundant copies. So today, a user has taken a step to put the file into the cloud. If your solution isn't cloud aware and doesn't understand that, you're going to break their experience and their expectations by taking the file out of the cloud, doing your editing locally, and then you have to find a way, or the user has to find a way to put that file back in the cloud. It's not a nice, streamlined, consistent experience for those users. So with OneDrive and our platform, your API or your app can really connect to where the content is stored. You can solve content problems for personal to enterprise users. You can leverage all the Office 365 compliance features and access the insights that I talked about in Microsoft Graph. So how do you do all of this? I promise I'm going to get to a demo right after this slide. One, you can connect with file pickers. So it's a really easy, quick way to say, hey, I want to be able to access content in OneDrive, in SharePoint, with my existing application. I don't want to take a bunch of time to learn APIs. I don't want to build web UI for browsing files or client UI for browsing files. I just want to leverage it quickly. So we offer SDKs to make that really simple. Once you've done that basic level of integration, you can actually build on it and go deeper with the API. You can start accessing recent files, trending files, and get insights from the graph through the API. And then finally, something new that we're going to be talking about today is being able to customize the file experience for your own files. So now when you put a new type of content into OneDrive, instead of sort of having a very basic experience, you can make that experience very rich and bring your solution directly into our apps. So one, let's connect with file pickers. Let's make it really easy to get this experience. How do you do that? Well, let's do a JavaScript application and say, hey, it's three lines of code to be able to open a file out of OneDrive. You set up a client ID, you tell us that you want to access the content of that file, and then you say, open that file from OneDrive. So let me show you what that looks like. So I have an existing application, which I'm going to go to on my local machine, which is called the OneDrive Text Editor, which is a really simple application which started out not being related to OneDrive. And it's a way that I can just edit a text file in a web browser. So it's really simple. I can click open. I could browse to a file on my hard drive. It will upload it to the server. I can then do some really basic text editing, and then I can save the file back and download it. But what if I want to connect this into OneDrive and make it really easy to open files from the cloud in the same scenario? So here's my Markdown Editor application. It's all packaged into a single JavaScript file. I can go in and add the application ID and the Microsoft Graph endpoint that I want to be able to use to make API calls, just as variables that I'll hold on to. And then to be able to open a file, I simply instantiate an options object here, which has, again, my client ID, the action that I want to do. In this case, I want to filter it to be text files and Markdown files, and then a simple function that says, hey, open this file. And if I go back to my app and click open, you'll see we have the nice login experience. I didn't have to code auth. I didn't have to deal with any of the complexities of OAuth in a JavaScript application. I didn't have to go grab a library or an SDK off the web. I just dropped the picker SDK in there and gave it an app ID and said open. And I can log in as my user. And now you can see here's my OneDrive nicely being browsed from the cloud. I'll maximize this so you can see. And something new that I'm really excited to talk about today is now you can access SharePoint team sites from the same picker as well. So it's not just content that's stored in OneDrive that's available. It's now content stored across all of my SharePoint. And all of my different document libraries are available too. So if I click on this team site, and then I can click on the documents library, and I can see all of my files. And in this case, I'll pick sample, open it, and we return back the download URL that you need to access that content, and then you can quickly pull it in and have it available inside your application. So three lines of code is all it takes to be able to integrate the OneDrive file picker into your existing application and have a really great way to open and save files back into OneDrive or SharePoint team sites. So that's cool. You can now easily take an existing application and sort of do an open and save scenario. But what if you want to go deeper than that? What if you want to enable a richer set of functionality, like searching for files across OneDrive, being able to reliably upload large files, say the 10 gigabyte maximum file size that OneDrive has? You can't do that in just a single put call and hope that the network connection lasts for an hour while you're uploading that file. How do you download content in different formats? Like, let's say you have a Word document, but you really want it in a PDF format. That's a service that OneDrive offers to our users. You can use the API to do that same capability. And then you can manage the permissions and links and things like that to enable easier collaboration and sharing for your content. And you can do all of that from within your application. Now, you've been able to do all of that for OneDrive for a while, and that was great. But today, we're really excited to say you can now do that for SharePoint sites and SharePoint content in document libraries as well. So inside Microsoft Graph, as of this morning, we now have enabled the Sites extension. And so just like you could navigate to drives before and have access to a user's OneDrive, you can now access sites in SharePoint and the document libraries that are stored within those. We make it really simple if you're used to SharePoint development to be able to take the existing application code that you have written and the existing IDs that you have in the SharePoint world and use those same identifiers inside the Microsoft Graph. So you don't have to rethink about how to access SharePoint site content. We also really graphified it, so we made it really simple to be able to navigate within the graph between sites so that if you aren't a SharePoint developer, all of this stuff is really easy for you to use because you understand how Microsoft Graph works. And then we've also enabled the shares functionality that we had for OneDrive for being able to operate on a sharing link to work on SharePoint URLs as well. So if you have a SharePoint URL for a site, or you have a sharing link that it gets you access to a file, you can use that URL now in the Microsoft Graph and be able to program directly against that. So this now means that through Microsoft Graph, we have a really great story for being able to access files with a single API, a single authentication flow, and a single SDK that gets you access in your code base. And it gets you access to OneDrive, both consumer OneDrive logged in with a Microsoft account, and OneDrive for business logged in with an enterprise account or a school account. Your SharePoint team sites and all of the content stored in those team sites and the concept of office groups. All of that is backed by the Microsoft Graph and available through the Microsoft Graph API. And to give you guys a quick sort of example of what that looks like, you're probably, if you've seen me talk before, familiar with the OneDrive Explorer application, which was a really simple framework that we built for navigating around through the OneDrive API. We've updated that framework to be available for Microsoft Graph, and we've added all of the functionality to be able to access these new endpoints that I talked about today. So again, I'm going to run the code on my box. I'm going to go to localhost. Oh, I'm going to hit refresh because that's cached. And here's my OneDrive Explorer. What the code is doing in here, if I go look at the code, is after we handle authentication, we then make a graph request using the base URL that we provide to Microsoft Graph. And what we're going to do is just really simple. We're going to go enumerate the contents of a particular folder. We're going to grab thumbnails, and we're going to ask for a particular thumbnail size, in this case, large. Really simple stuff, being able to enumerate what the files look like. And so first, I'll sign in. And I'm going to actually sign in with my OneDrive consumer account, just to prove to you that this works for everything. Please wait while I get redirected. Type in my password. And so now I'm signed into a consumer account, and we're using Microsoft Graph to go enumerate the contents of files in my consumer account. There we go. And you can see we get rich thumbnails. We get thumbnails for PDFs. We get thumbnails for Word documents. We get thumbnails for photos. We get thumbnails on folders. We get all of the richness that you expect out of OneDrive right here available in my sample application. And in this case, you can see all of the metadata. So you can see there's a lot of richness available, like the dates that files were created, C tags for when the content changes, E tags for when metadata changes. Everything is all nicely available there. Now I can sign out and sign in again using my OneDrive for Business account. And this time again, we use Microsoft Graph to go pull the contents out of my OneDrive for Business. You can see, again, the same sort of rich experience. Documents get thumbnails, PDFs get thumbnails, PowerPoints, the whole richness here. And if I want to go navigate to a SharePoint site, in this sample, I'm going to provide the URL myself. So site URL graph.microsoft.com v1 sites root, which is how I access the root team site for my tenant. And when I load this, you'll see here, this is now actually my team site's contents and all of the files that are available in my team site. So now one API, one set of code, unlike anything you could write before on the SharePoint platform, you can now access files from consumer all the way up to SharePoint and have all of these rich API support available to you. But what else is available inside Microsoft Graph? What are the other sorts of things that I can do with this platform? So we have this wonderful way of being able to browse and explore the API called the Graph Explorer, which is available on the Microsoft Graph website if you go to graph.microsoft.com. And it lets you quickly and easily build some sample queries and execute them and see what happens. So I'm authenticated again as my same user, and I can navigate through the Sites API. So if I do Sites, I just want to call out this one first. We don't support enumerating sites. Oh, I need to remove me. We don't support enumerating sites, so you do get an error here, and it says cannot enumerate sites. That's because enumerating all of the sites in a SharePoint tenant is a very massive exercise, and we don't want to make that available to just anyone. It's a restricted to IT admins functionality. But what you can do is you can search for a site. So if you know a particular site that you want to find, I'm going to search for the word team. This actually returns back a list of all of the SharePoint sites that match your search query. So if you don't know the site that you want to access and you want to enable that functionality for the users of your solution, you can enable searching for sites so that you can discover sites using the Microsoft Graph. And in this case, I'm just going to go use the root site because that's really simple and easy to use. You can also do things like shape the API response that you get back. So if you don't want all of the properties to be returned to you because it's too noisy, like if I go to root drive children, you'll see a lot of data comes back. Oh, sorry, drive root children. You'll see you get back a lot of data from the API. If you care about bandwidth or you just want to be able to shape this to just the properties that you want, you can use the standard Microsoft Graph syntax and you select, and I can say name, ID, file, folder, and get back just a very specific set of metadata that's available for my application. So this way you can really clean up the response that you're getting. You can also do some really cool things, like you can navigate by path. So instead of dealing with IDs in the Microsoft Graph, you can use the colon syntax to translate into the user space. And you can say things like contoso product innovations.pdf. Did I type that wrong? Well, let's try that again. Aha, I'll just copy and paste this time so I don't have to worry about typing it poorly. Okay, so I can use the path syntax to be able to address something by name or by relative path within the user space. So if I know a file is teama/project/a/contoso-product-innovation, I can use that syntax with a colon to be able to translate the API call directly instead of making multiple successive calls to go navigate through the folder hierarchy and find that item. I can also then translate back out of that user space into the API space again if I want to do something else. Like if I want to get the thumbnails for this particular item, I can get a request using the colon again to translate into the API space and then find all of the thumbnails for this item. Or if I want to create a sharing link, I can easily post to the create link API and say something like, I want a view link for this file. And when I run that, you'll see I get back a sharing link for this particular file. So everything works easily through Microsoft Graph. All of the same functionality that was available in OneDrive before is now available for SharePoint sites. All of the richness of the Microsoft Graph API is fully functional here across all of that as well. And I'm going to log out because this user doesn't have a whole lot of interesting trending content. But a couple other really powerful APIs that you have access to are the recent file list. Me drive recent. Which returns back essentially all of the files that this user has viewed or edited recently. And this is a really powerful thing for Outlook uses this API today to be able to create the attachments dropdown in the desktop Outlook product. So today when you attach a file, instead of browsing through all of the SharePoint sites, all of your OneDrive, all of the different places that you might have stored that file, it gives you a list of the files that you've worked on recently and you can pick one out of that. It streamlined the operation of attaching a file into OneDrive from being a number of clicks into usually a single click for most users. And it's a really powerful way to be able to find content that the users have been interacting with recently and bring that into your solution. You can also do something else, which is really cool, which is the trending API, which is only available in beta right now. So I'm going to change to beta. Me, insights, and trending. And what this does is it says, what are all the files that are interesting around this user? What are the files that they've been working on? What are the files that Microsoft Graph has a lot of information on that are relative to this user? And in this case, I've called it on the test user that I'm signed in with right now. But you can actually call it on other users as well. So not only can I see the files that are trending around the logged in user, but if I know that Darren, for example, is a user that the application wants to go query on, I can query trending on that user and find out what's going on around them. This is the same sort of API that powers the Microsoft Delve experience, if you're familiar with that, which lets you discover what it is that your coworkers are working on, what it is that's interesting to them, and what's going on in their world, and you can learn some really interesting things. You can find new documents that you may not have known about in the past, and you can really connect the dots for those users so that they don't, again, have to be browsing through a ton of content inside Microsoft Graph to be able to find all of these files. So all of this is sort of a bunch of really great functionality that's available inside the Microsoft Graph. But what can you do with it that's really sort of exciting and cool? I mean, you'll find out lots of things. But I have one particular thing I want to show you. So this morning, we talked a lot about Azure Functions in the keynote as enabling a really easy way to build serverless code architecture. I thought it'd be really cool to have a sample that shows you how to take Azure Functions and use them to enable webhooks on the OneDrive experience. So you can create webhooks that get fired every time a document is changed inside OneDrive or SharePoint. But you know, building a whole web server architecture that can scale to the load of all of your users potentially modifying a bunch of files is difficult. But Azure Functions is really perfect for this because it can scale dynamically depending on the load. So you don't have to know how to plan ahead for all of the architecture that you might need to enable those webhooks. And so what we're going to do in this example is go build a Azure function that will register for webhooks in OneDrive, watch for Excel files to be changed. Anytime an Excel file changes, we're going to use the Microsoft Graph's Excel API to go look at the contents of that file and see if there's any trigger words that we have added into that document for ways where we can go add value. And the OneDrive data robot that I'm going to demo is basically a way to be able to, in context, be able to get data pulled into Excel in context without needing to leave and switch out to your web browser. So it makes it much faster and much more streamlined of an experience inside Excel to do the kinds of things that you're looking for. So I have a Visual Studio project, which is just a simple website, which I will open up, called OneDrive Data Robot. And what this is going to do is it's essentially the Kickstarter for this app. So you'll log into it. I'm actually going to copy this URL back to Edge. Paste it here. So this app is running, and what it's going to do is let me sign in so that I get authentication. And authentication is handled by the Active Directory authentication library. So all of that is nice and easy to bake into an application. And then I'm going to call the Microsoft Graph to activate the OneDrive data robot on my solution. And so when I click that, what it's going to do is, behind the scenes, it's going to go out and create a webhook subscription and bring back the subscription ID. And it's going to call the Delta API and just have an understanding of the current state of all of the files in my drive. The Delta API is the same kind of technology that powers the OneDrive Sync client. So we have ensured that it is robust and highly scalable and works for all of the OneDrive Sync client scenarios, and you can bring that into your application to do rich things like this. I'm also now going to switch over to my Azure function. And so here, if you haven't used Azure Functions before, you can go in and create a new function. In this case, I called it Excel Autocomplete. And it creates a simple single method called run, which you can customize through the integrate tab for sort of what the input parameters you want are. So in this case, there's an HTTP message request coming in, which is the webhook that's going to be received by my web by my Azure function. There's a table, actually there's two tables. There's a cache of access tokens, and there's a cache of sync state, and there's the traceWriter log. And what's going to happen inside this function is I'm going to respond to webhook validation requests, just as a upfront thing you have to do. And then I'm going to parse all of the subscriptions, or all of the drive notifications that come in a notification, and say, hey, these are the drives that have changes in them, and then let's go query for Excel files that have changed within those. Once I find an Excel file that has changed, I'll investigate it using the Excel API and say, hey, what changed in this? Give me the used range of data out of this worksheet, and then investigate the used range and make sure that there, or see if there's anything interesting inside that range that I want to go party on. And so what does this end up looking like? Well, what this ends up looking like once it's all up and running, and I'm going to refresh this page so that the log will still work, is that I can go into OneDrive, and I will create a new Excel file, new Excel workbook. And I use the keyword exclamation point oddbot. So let's say that I really want to get some stock information. And I know that I could go ask, and you know, I could go out to Google, or I could go out to Bing, and I could type this thing in, and I could get an answer that way. But I usually, every time I open a new tab in my browser, I get distracted. And I go off into like La La Land, browsing through the suggested sites that it told me to go open. So I don't want to do that right now. But I really want this data to show up. So I'm going to type oddbot MSFT stock quote, because I really want to know what the stock price is right now. And what's going to happen behind the scenes is Excel Web App is going to save the changes of this file into OneDrive. And that's going to generate a webhook notification inside OneDrive that's going to come out to my Azure function. And my Azure function is going to run. But if I switch back to my Azure function, which is now refreshed, and I click on the log. By the way, you saw that it already updated, so I can get to the punchline. But so if I switch back here and go look at this, you'll see the log file for my solution. So the webhook came in. We used the Delta API to see what files had changed, what generated that webhook. We found that it was an Excel file. We then grabbed the content of that Excel file, found the keyword, and were able to go out and use an API to generate a real-time stock quote. So now, without leaving Excel, I have enabled a solution that lets me bring real-time data based on keywords or based on information that is typed by the user back into Excel, so I never have to leave this. And you can imagine hooking this up into all of the cognitive services that we learned about this morning to be able to do natural human language processing here, so it doesn't have to be oddbot. But you could just ask a question, and your Excel or your Azure Function service can go off and answer that. And then because it is Azure Functions, it's all infinitely scalable. So if I have one user, I am paying nothing, essentially, because that's part of the free tier for Azure Functions. If I have 100 million users who want to use this, I don't have to plan ahead. I just have to make sure that I have a revenue model that supports me having that many users. But the service itself scales out beautifully to handle all of that, streamlined here within Azure Functions. So that's a really simple example of a really rich thing that you can go build using Microsoft Graph, using Azure Functions, and using all of the functionality that we have today. And it all works across the board. So it doesn't matter if that file was in OneDrive, if that file was in a SharePoint team site, the same set of functionality can be enabled using the same set of APIs like I showed you here. So in summary, for the OneDrive API part, we now have a single API that powers files across OneDrive and SharePoint. We've made it easier than ever to be able to integrate your content solutions and your applications with files that are stored in OneDrive and stored in SharePoint. And we really, really now believe that, like I said at the beginning, that file shares are obsolete and that OneDrive is the place where content belongs in a modern cloud-powered application. And the more content that flows into OneDrive, the more insights flow into Microsoft Graph, and the more value that you can bring back to your customers by being able to draw insights out of those experiences. And all of the same, I didn't mention earlier, but this API is we have a philosophy inside our team, which is that First party and third parties should be the same, and we should have the same level of functionality available to everybody. So these are the APIs that we're using in all of the new functionality that we're building in our own native applications. They scale to support the same load that all of our native applications scale, which is hundreds of millions of users using those applications. All of them are now available in your third party, or for your applications and for your solutions. And it provides a really rich experience on the API side. But that's great. That is a really great answer if the user is living inside your application all of the time and you want to be able to connect to content that's stored somewhere else. But what happens when that user is in, say, OneDrive and browsing through the content that you've stored there? What if you invent the best file in the world called .awesome and you store it, in OneDrive and the user clicks on it? Well, you get this wonderful prompt today that says, I don't know what to do with this. Do you want to download it somewhere and save it to your disk and take that file out of the cloud? That's weird. Why would we want to do that? That's not what the user expects to have happen. The user expects when they click on a file, they see a rich preview. They expect that they can open it into a web application and make edits. They have all of these expectations. So today, we're also announcing File Handlers 2.0 as a developer preview. It's now available in first release tenants, so you can go play with this. And what File Handlers enables is you to be able to bring your application solution into OneDrive and into SharePoint. So you can add preview experiences, you can add open experiences, and you can add custom verbs onto files that are stored in OneDrive and SharePoint. So if you have a really great app for signing PDF files, for example, you can add that button very easily and have it be available across the entire OneDrive and SharePoint ecosystem. If you create .awesome and you want to be able to preview those files, or have your users be able to preview those files, you can now add that functionality. And in File Handlers 2.0, this is all powered by the Microsoft Graph API. So not only do you get the ability to access the content and write the content back, like File Handlers has had in the past, you now have the full range of API functionality available to you. So you can create sharing links inside your file handlers. You can manage permissions. You can do range downloads if you know how to progressively render your file. You can handle all of the sort of richness that's available in our API inside your app solution, running inside the OneDrive experience. And we've done a lot of work internally building this up, and to make sure that we got it all right, we've partnered with Autodesk AutoCAD. We looked around and saw that there were actually a lot of AutoCAD files stored in OneDrive for Business, and we said, what better partner for us to be able to bring into the fold on this and help us make sure that and validate the platform than Autodesk? And they've really been able to build file handlers to allow their customers to engage directly with AutoCAD files from inside OneDrive. So you don't have to download the file, you don't have to think about taking it out of the cloud to be able to open it. And to help talk about AutoCAD, I want to bring up Rob McGuire from Autodesk to talk about what it is that they have built using file handlers.
Thank you, Ryan. For those of you not familiar with Autodesk, we are sort of the industry-leading 2D and 3D design, building, and manufacturing software company, where we make tools to help our customers literally make anything. As Ryan said, Microsoft and Autodesk have been working together to integrate Autodesk AutoCAD into the OneDrive experience, which we're going to prototype and show you here today. So by building on top of the file handler platform, you can see that we've got access to the files directly inside the OneDrive environment, which really kind of gives a rich experience. So these DWG files have lots of precise and custom and extensible metadata that's extended by our customers. And you can see all of this directly inside the OneDrive experience. When the time comes and you want to take more advantage of any of this rich metadata, you can actually open it up inside AutoCAD for Web. So you can see once you've got it inside of OneDrive and you want to open an AutoCAD Web to do some more things, that's exactly what we do. So basically, when you get inside of a DWG file, there's a lot of rich information in there that you can't necessarily get. So some of these layers that actually come out, our customers, in this drawing of a building with its surroundings, the sort of a building and its landscaping, all of that landscaping information is in the layers that you see on the left-hand side here. Sometimes you actually want to turn on and off the different layers to get different display states to see the content the way you want to see it. Also, sometimes you want to kind of interrogate the information and get some precise measurements out of that. So we also provide a series of tools to kind of zoom in literally infinitely into the drawing to get whatever precise measurements you want to make and pan and zoom around to try and get that experience. There's lots of special symbols in here. That's actually a potted tree. So you can see that when you select the tree, you've got the property palette updates dynamically, and you can get some of that rich metadata. So here you can see that that's a 5-gallon pot that the tree is actually placed inside of. So that was kind of the model space world. That was a boundless kind of infinite space. Here, this is paper space. I take that same geometry and I put it to a paper scale, and I can print either on a large e-size plot or on some of these more smaller plots that would be helpful for printing and quick reference kind of things. So, you know, this really is kind of just the tip of the iceberg that we have. There's a lot more customizable extensibility inside that AutoCAD file, and you know, I think the partnership with OneDrive is really fantastic to kind of, you know, have our customers have access to the AutoCAD technology, and you know, for our business to have access back and forth. And I think this file handler platform has been fantastic to kind of create that rich connection between us. So, thank you very much.
Thank you, Rob. So, AutoCAD is a great example of an application that was able to integrate with the file handler platform and bring new richness into the OneDrive experience. Now, instead of downloading those DWG files and, you know, taking them out of the cloud and having them be disconnected, AutoCAD was able to enable this rich scenario where I can quickly preview the file inside OneDrive using a file handler. And then when I want to do more than just view the file and actually move in and edit the file, you can switch and actually leave OneDrive, move seamlessly into AutoCAD Web. And AutoCAD Web uses the full Microsoft Graph API to be able to download the contents of that file and potentially can enable collaboration scenarios and things like that in the future. All of that is great, but now how do you go about building one of these yourselves? And I'm going to go back to that text editor that I showed you at the very beginning, because who doesn't need yet another notepad? And I'm going to open this up, and then I'll switch over. And so the project has grown up a little bit now. It's actually moved into Visual Studio, and it's been turned into a server-side web project for one reason, which is that the contract that enables file handlers today is an HTTP post request, which you actually can't handle in a single-page JavaScript app like we were using before. But the rest of this is essentially still a very similar application. So we receive the HTTP post from OneDrive, which says, here's the user who is invoking the file handler action. Here are the Microsoft Graph URLs for the files that were selected when that action was invoked. Please now render your experience in the web browser. And so the server-side component here is going to take those parameters. It's going to roll them back into a format that the client-side application can use. And it's going to enable this scenario for our text editor. So I'm going to go back to my now closed OneDrive page. And you'll see you can enable actions in the new menu. So I can go to new, and I have markdown document as one of the file types that I now support. So instead of thinking, oh, I need to go to that wonderful markdown editor application on the web, now it's right there available to me in OneDrive when I'm thinking about creating new files in that space. You can see my editor's grown up a little bit. It now supports more markdown. So this is markdown. This is a sample demo. And I can hit save. And this is, again, going to use Microsoft Graph to upload this file back to OneDrive. But you know, the default name of this file was something that I didn't really love. It was just called MD file. So what if I want to rename this file and call it build 2017? Now with File Handlers 2.0, because we give you the full Microsoft Graph API, you can do things like rename the file. And when I click OK, you see the file was renamed to build 2017. I can also do things like be able to get a link for this file. And what that's going to do is, again, call out to the Microsoft Graph API and pull back a sharing link for the file. And if I scroll to the end, you'll see it has all of the sort of details that you expect to see in a sharing API, like the auth token baked in. And I can take this and share it out with my colleagues, and they will have a great experience being able to open these files as well. So that's the new file flow, but what now that I've created this file and I have it in my drive, what are the sorts of things that I can do with it? So if I scroll down and find build 2017.md, you see if I click on it, just a single left click, you get the same consistent OneDrive experience that we have everywhere. So I rendered a preview. So in this case, I knew it was a preview, so the Chrome of my application disappears, but the content is still there. And because I'm in OneDrive still, the user interaction still works exactly like it does for other OneDrive files. So I can click to share, I get the nice sharing UI that I can use to be able to share that file, I can get a link, or I can do the sort of download or delete actions, just like OneDrive has for all other file types. Or I can, like we showed with AutoCAD, just quickly open it in the Markdown editor, it launches a new tab, and everything is good. But what if I want to do more than just simple editing scenarios? What if I want to add some actions to my files? So now I could actually, through the file handle platform, select multiple files and say, add to zip file. And I'm going to hope I click the right one. But when I click that file, what's going to happen is we're going to call out to the application. Oh, I clicked the wrong one. Try again. We're going to call out to the application and say, hey, the user selected multiple files this time. It's not just one file. It's actually these three files. And in this case, I have an add to zip action. And so asynchronously, my web application is going to go out. It's going to download the contents of those files, package them into a zip file. And then, well, where else would I put that file but back into OneDrive? So again, using Microsoft Graph, I'm able to upload that resulting zip file back into OneDrive. And now it lives side by side with the rest of my files. And if I refresh my OneDrive, you'll see archive.zip has been added. And if I click on that just to prove to you that all of this worked, you see the three files that I selected are now in that zip file. So now it's really easy to build advanced application scenarios directly into the OneDrive and SharePoint experience by being able to leverage functionality of your existing application but connect it with file handlers into our own experiences. So now it doesn't matter where the user is. If the user starts in your application, you can use the Microsoft Graph API to connect to content that's stored in OneDrive already. If the user is starting in OneDrive or in SharePoint applications and wants to interact with content that is specific to your application, we make it easy to get them back into your application and have the seamless experience. So it doesn't matter if the user's starting in your solution or in ours, we can connect the dots and get those users moving into the best experience for working with those files, which is, of course, your solution. A couple other things I want to chat about with file handlers. One of the big questions that we have is, how do I deploy these things? So they are, if you're used to the SharePoint terminology, what I call a provider-hosted application. File handlers are running on your own web architecture. It can be whatever web architecture you want, because the contract that we have between us and your application is an HTTP POST. Obviously, using Azure is what I would recommend to everybody in here, but if you want to use even just a simple single-page experience with Node.js, you can do that. Hosted in Azure, of course. And they're accessible, the availability of file handlers, rather, is tied to the consent for your application. So all of this is brokered through Azure Active Directory. You create an application in AAD. That's the client ID GUID that you've seen me reference several times. When the user consents to your application having access to their data, that's what enables these buttons to show up. So a user isn't going to see buttons for an application that they don't have permission to use if IT has locked that down, or if they haven't used your application yet. And there are ways, actually, for IT to be able to consent on behalf of an entire tenant today, which are in the sample code that is available on GitHub. So an IT admin can come in and say, make this file handler available for everybody in my organization, or end users can virally flow into these applications and connect up and have these experiences. So as I said, all of this is now available in first release tenants today. It will be rolling out to the rest of the SharePoint tenants in the near future. But I'd really encourage you to go get a first release tenant, you get a developer tenant if you don't have one, and start trying this API out. Start giving us feedback, because we want to make sure that the file handler platform is the best experience that we have for being able to surface your application solutions into OneDrive and SharePoint, and really enable your custom content to pop inside the OneDrive experience. So just to quickly summarize, I think we have a really great developer story across OneDrive and SharePoint for being able to store content in the Microsoft Cloud. We have a rich API through Microsoft Graph that enables the same level of access to the content that you put there that we have internally. And OneDrive and SharePoint are enterprise storage. It's the destination for content across entire scenarios from consumer users all the way up to the largest enterprises. And the more users start to put content in the cloud, the more your solution will feel like it's just out of date if it isn't connected into the cloud. And it's easier than ever to be able to connect it into the cloud. How do you get started doing this? All of the samples that I showed you today are available out there on GitHub. Everything is easy for you to pick up and integrate into your own application. And all of the APIs have been designed to be as simple and easy to use as possible. And we have a new SDK that's available from the Microsoft Graph to wrap everything up and make it even easier if you don't like dealing with REST calls. So additional resources, visit dev.onedrive.com. We refreshed it this morning with a bunch of new content. We talk about file handlers. We talk about the Graph API and sites. We have links off to all of the sample code that I talked about today. Visit graph.microsoft.com to learn more about the Microsoft Graph and all of the different workloads and services that are rolled up into Microsoft Graph. Not just files, but there's a lot there. We're also on Twitter at OneDriveDev. We're on GitHub, on the OneDrive organization, and I basically live in one of these three places all day long. And we're on Stack Overflow, reading feedback and addressing questions and issues that come up via that channel. And the engineering team is really actively involved in all of these places. It's not just a thing that we have one support person go read all of these things and try to do their best. Like, the engineering team that is building this stuff is the team that is actually engaged in these channels. And we're the people who are there reading and interacting with the developers, with you guys who are building these things. And we're really interested in your feedback. And B, we want to make sure that it's as simple and streamlined and easy to integrate with our solution as possible. And the more that we learn from you about the problems that you face, the easier it is for us to be able to address those problems in the future. There's also a bunch of related sessions. So if you missed the first two already, then go back and watch them on Channel 9. So this morning, there was an Office Platform General session, which was really interesting about a sort of overview of all of the different Office integrations. And then right before my session over in the other building, Yina had a great talk about all of the great functionality available in Microsoft Graph. There's also a talk coming up about the Project Roam work that we announced this morning and new features in Graph that way. And then there's an Office open Q&A on the 11th tomorrow as well, where you can just come ask your questions. There'll be a bunch of representatives across all these different workloads there to take your questions and answer feedback. And then inside the hub, myself and my engineering team, which is hanging out down here in the corner, will be there all week long. So if you have solution questions, if you have questions about the sample code that we've shown, or if you just want to know more about what we're doing, drop by, find one of us, and we'll be happy to talk to you about your solution and how you can bring it into the SharePoint OneDrive world. And try out our sample code, because I think we have a really great set of content out there that makes this stuff really easy for you to integrate with. And so that's it. I have time left for Q&A. There's about 10 minutes left, which I wanted to save for questions. But please complete your session evaluation. Help us know how we can improve this talk and make it even more relevant to you. I won't say more relevant. And thank you for coming, and please go integrate. Yeah. Actually, do you mind talking in the microphone, because it is recorded?
You mentioned SharePoint Files was released GA and the lists is still in beta.
So SharePoint Sites is generally available now. It's in the v1.0 version of Graph. The list functionality is still in beta. And if you had been using it before, on Monday, we did a pretty big refresh. So some things that may have worked in the past are now broken because we've been evolving the API, trying to make it more graph friendly, trying to make it more robust and rich. It is still in beta.
Question was about the metadata on the files that are...
About what?
Like metadata on the files themselves in
yes.
SharePoint.
Yes, so custom columns and things like that you can add in SharePoint document libraries are the list version of a file. So you can access it, and we've actually added some really convenient ways to be able to go from the files API over to the list API, and from the list API back to the files API. But all of that stuff right now is still in the beta endpoint and not generally available.
Thanks.
Can we override a file handler that already exists? Can we override a file handler that already exists?
Yes, that is a great question. So you can't. So one of the big differences in V2 of file handlers is that you can now add verbs and open experiences to any file type. So in the past, we said there are certain file types that are owned by Microsoft and that we don't make those available for you to extend as a developer. In V2, we've said, the left-click experience is going to be still owned by us by default today. But you can add your own custom open action on top of that file, and you can add your own custom verbs on top of that file. So you can still extend those files. And one of the things that we're interested in is that enough? Or are there scenarios for particular file types that you want to be able to go deeper? And if you can send feedback, that'd be great.
One other question, is there a folder picker? There's a file picker, but
yeah,
I want to store something in OneDrive.
So I didn't want to get into all of the intricate details, but in addition to being able to select multiple files, you can now add actions that handle folder selection as well. So you can say, you know, open and preview don't so much make sense on a folder, but you can add custom verbs like the add to zip one that I showed and have it act on a whole folder.
Is there a folder picker control that I can call from my app?
Sorry, I misunderstood. Yes, so the file picker SDK that we make available today, if you use it in save mode, basically is a folder picker, and you can override the behavior, so it's not about saving a file, but about picking a folder.
Great, thanks.
Yep.
Okay, I saw this is on Office 365. Will this work on on-premise SharePoint?
A great question. So in SharePoint 2016 Feature Pack 1, we brought some of the OneDrive API support in there. So a very similar API contract to what we have made available in Microsoft Graph that works in SharePoint 2016 Feature Pack 1. That's a mouthful. We're continuing to evaluate how much of the experience we want to bring forward. And I'm sure if I looked around and said, should I bring this stuff to on-prem, everybody would nod their heads. Yeah. So it's something that we're still working on and trying to figure out what the best way is to bring all of these APIs into on-prem. And you know, if you've looked at the Exchange preview where they have hybrid support for Microsoft Graph so that you can use Microsoft Graph to get to content that's stored in an on-premises Exchange server, that's very interesting to us, and we want to go to see what the future for SharePoint looks like in that world too.
Do we have a timeline for that, or?
You know, no. The future.
Thanks.
I have a question on like searching the content within the documents. Like,
yes.
Is there a way for us to search in it?
There is. So there's a search API built into Microsoft Graph, which allows you to search not just file names, but also any of the indexed content that we understand out of the files. And you can search either in a user's drive specifically, or you can search across all of the shared content, all the content that has been shared with that user. And we don't right now have the functionality to search every file that the user has access to, but if that's something that's interesting, that's good feedback for us to know too.
Does it do like, you know, inflection point, like go, when, gone, those kind of intelligence?
It's the same search that powers the OneDrive user experience that we have. So all of the techniques that we have to be able to make the search results more relevant based on the query that comes in are also applied into using that API.
Cool. Search API is also available on Exchange Online?
I don't know the answer to that. I believe they have their own search API, but don't hold me to that. We should go ask about Exchange. But one of the things that we've heard lots of feedback from customers on and that we would continue to investigate on is, what is the Microsoft Graph story for search? And how do we think about search across all the different workloads that roll up into Microsoft Graph? So if you have specific scenarios that are interesting to you, I think it'd be really great feedback for the team to hear.
Can we get the device information or the through the API, which device access, IP location, those, or not yet?
Not in Microsoft Graph today.
Okay.
Any plans to extend Graph API to expose SharePoint workflow information or initiate the workflows?
Any plans to extend the Graph API to support SharePoint workflow information? That is a really great question, and I'd say there are nothing committed in my backlog right now about that, but that doesn't mean there couldn't be in the future.
Thank you.
I'd love to know, too, like, what do you want? What sort of information would you like to have available, and what scenarios would you want to go do with that?
We have a requirement wherein we want to initiate the workflow outside from the SharePoint workflows, like SharePoint, rather than going through SharePoint activities, like creating an item, and through, we want to initiate the workflow, move the workflow stages.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's great. Thanks.
Thank you.
So I have a question. Well, if the IT team has disabled Graph for the tenant, I assume none of this will work.
So the IT option for disabling Microsoft Graph is a little bit misleading. What it's doing is it's disabling the engine that powers Delve, which is the thing that powers the Insights API that's available in the Microsoft Graph API. But the core set of functionality that is Microsoft Graph API does not get disabled when you check that box. So the ability to use the API to get to files and all the stuff that I showed will still work. What won't work are the Insights APIs that are powered by that setting. Oh, one more?
Yeah, one more. What kind of strategies exist for restricting access to a OneDrive volume to your application, such that a user couldn't actually navigate through the OneDrive API to see files within that app, within that volume? So, for instance, your application wants to take advantage of all of the wonderful things that a OneDrive file can do, but you don't want to give them free rein access through the existing UI.
Right. So we don't really have an answer for that right now. The API is designed to make available the user's space inside OneDrive. And all of that content is essentially owned by the user in OneDrive, so it's all available to them.
SharePoint team site.
Yep, so in a modern SharePoint team site, you can do some work, but I wouldn't recommend it. What we really want, I think, is, and what it sounds like you want, is you want to be able to have a home for your application's files that stays outside of sort of what the user can see.
Absolutely.
Which is a really great scenario and something I wish I had a better answer for you.
I mean, so when you say things you wouldn't recommend, would you not recommend things like just-in-time permissioning, like giving a user access just-in-time and then revoking it when they're done using that file?
You can do stuff like that. The problem is that if there's a hiccup or a glitch along the way, then you end up with permissions that didn't get removed.
Maybe some kind of sweeping process that comes through and cleans up eventual consistency.
I can't tell you entirely not to go do that sort of thing. You can. There's just, you know, interesting pitfalls and holes that you may end up with going down that path.
I just think co-authoring and versioning and all the things you get from a OneDrive
really cool,
are
right?
so compelling file storage within
so
an application.
It's so compelling, I really want to have an answer that is an official supported thing. I just don't have it today.
Great. Thanks, I appreciate that.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, more. Okay. Awesome.
Sorry. What kind of tooling do you have in the API to support or prevent concurrent edits?
Today it's fairly limited. We have what's it called? Optimistic concurrency control. I just forgot that word. So we have e-tags and all of the e-tag semantics on items. So we say, when you download the content of the file, you can grab the e-tag for it. When you write changes back, you can say if match or the various requirements there to make sure that you don't overwrite somebody else's edits. But that doesn't really give you the sort of richness of co-authoring experiences that it sounds like you're probably asking about. I think we're still learning and evolving how Office works in that space and our understanding of what the API platform that makes those sorts of things available in a rich, robust way to applications would look like, to the point where I wouldn't feel comfortable trying to design a model that works for you guys, like for everyone. But I would really like to know, like, what are the application scenarios that you think are interesting? If we had an API, how would that work for you, and what would you want it to look like? Because, you know, I want to build API platforms that solve problems for everyone in here.
Thank you.
Yeah, send me an email.
Docs
what?
Google Docs is an example.
Yes. Yeah.
Merge.
Yeah.
I
think Word has had that functionality forever too, but not as an API. But yeah, yep.
So I just wanted to, all of this content, if it exists in a SharePoint library and not necessarily not in OneDrive,
yep.
Do all of those features you show still apply?
Yes.
So I can get down into an Excel file, pull up a cell.
Absolutely.
Beautiful. Thanks.
Yeah. That's our goal, really, is that you shouldn't have to think about where the user has stored their file. If it's in OneDrive, if it's in a SharePoint team site, if it's in a modern group, like the developer experience should be the same. The APIs that are available should be the same across all of that so that you can have consistency and sort of respect whatever the user's choice is as far as where content goes. Okay, thank you, everyone. I appreciate it.